Henry David Thoreau once said, it's not what you look at that matters, but it's what you see. When I look at House Bill 295, I see that the House of Delegates is trying to do what the Congress should be doing, and that's being socially responsible and fiscally prudent. Thank you, Appropriations Committee. I see an opportunity to raise the wages directly and indirectly of an estimated 455,000 Maryland workers. Under the economic principle of the marginal propensity to consume, I see an opportunity to generate $456 million in new economic activity. Finally, I see us giving what Maryland, our fellow Marylanders, truly want, and that's a hand up, not a hand out. Over the next couple of hours, you're going to hear much debate. You know I'm right. You're going to hear much debate about the impact of a minimum wage increase. You're going to hear dire predictions of job losses and business closings. And while historically that has been an accepted principle of an increase in the minimum wage, the truth of the matter is that there is equal research on both sides of this issue. Many of our leading economists, including Nobel laureates, do not believe small incremental increases will have an adverse impact on our economy. Folks, if this was a boxing match, they'd call it a split decision. So I'm willing to concede right now to anyone who says this is going to cause job losses that there is documentation out there or studies that will say that. I'm also willing to concede for those who say that it will not cause job losses and will actually be a stimulant to the economy that there's research out there to say that as well. So what we tried to do in the committee is make the best possible bill we could find. And I must say, Mr. Speaker, this was truly a bipartisan effort. While it may not be reflective in the votes that you're going to see on the board, I have to tip my hat to the minority whip. She gave me a call last fall and graciously offered to come to my district and meet with me and a small business owner to talk about the issue, and I accepted. And we had a great conversation. I want to thank her for that. I also want to thank the members of the minority party in the committee. We talked up front, and while we understood that they would not be able to support the bill, I asked for their help to make sure that we could craft the best possible bill to bring forward. And they did that. They rolled up their sleeves, and they worked with me to help come up with the best possible bill. So I want to thank them as well for their efforts. And so in crafting the best possible bill that we could come up with, there were certain things that we did, we took from the bill, and we hope made it a better bill. Number one, we delayed the implementation date twice. One, from July 1 to January 1, and then for the subsequent phase ends, it would be each additional January 1st over the next 3 years. The second thing was, and this was arguably the most important component of the bill, as I heard from the business community, and that was we decoupled the tip credit from the minimum wage. As many of you may know, Maryland right now, our tip wage is 80 cents per hour higher than our nearest surrounding state, which is Pennsylvania. 80 cents higher than our nearest competitor. You heard much about the collaborative effort between the District of Columbia, Montgomery County, and Prince George's County. Well, the District of Columbia, when it came to the tip credit, they bailed on that deal, and they kept theirs at $2.77. We're in a very competitive industry, and the decision was made that we were going to keep Maryland competitive, so we decoupled that. The next thing that we did as it related to overtime exemptions and the minimum wage, we restored the cut for businesses making $250,000 or less in drugstores, drive-ins, cafes, restaurants, and taverns that sell food and drink. And we also retained the exemption for drive-in theaters. At the request of the Farm Bureau, the committee struck provisions of the bill that would have altered the computation for agricultural workers and preserve the 60-hour standard. Recognizing the need for a training wage, but also a wage increase for our young employees, The state will continue to follow federal law that allows employers to pay employees under the age of 20 $4.25 an hour for the first 90 days. The bill also establishes 10-10 as a floor, but not a ceiling. Any jurisdiction that wishes to go above that, they are able to do that. And we have a couple of counties who've already done that. I guess in closing, ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to say to all those working families living below the federal poverty level, this increase won't solve your problem, but help is on the way. To the many faith leaders who have contacted the committee asking us to help the members of their congregations, I'm here to tell you, help is on the way. To those who have decided between keeping the lights on and putting food on the table, I'm here to tell you, help is on the way. To those seeking a hand up and not a handout, I'm here to tell you, help is on the way. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge a green vote for House Bill 295.
Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today to say there's a lot that I liked about the chairman's speech and about what we were able to do in the committee on this bill. We took a bill that had problems and made it a much better work product, and I agree we serve on a great committee in the House. But I have to say that this really is a federal issue, and that's why there was a Fair Labor Standards Act passed. It created a level playing field nationally, and it was so states could not compete with each other. It's true it hasn't been raised for a while at the federal level. The unfortunate thing here is we know, just based on simple economics, that all the surrounding states, with the exception of the District of Columbia, are currently at $7.25 an hour. So regardless of whether this ends up being $8.25, $10.10, $20 an hour, whatever the amount is, Maryland, after we do this, will be a less competitive state. Companies will not locate here. Companies will leave here if they can. And we heard certain testimony that, you know, families need more to live on if they're living on the minimum wage. The minimum wage was never intended to be a lifetime wage. It was intended to be something to get people in the workforce. It was your first job. It was how you started life. You know, it's unfortunate since our recession in 2008 that we've lost jobs nationally. It's unfortunate people are living off of a minimum wage. But that's not the intent of the National Fair Labor Standards Act. You know, looking at all this, we actually heard from small business owners. When you raise this, you will harm small businesses. They will have to do one of two things. They will have to lay employees off. They will have to take a hit that might force them to close their businesses. Or they'll raise costs. So these families we talk about, how they can't make a living on the minimum wage, their cost will go up when we implement this. It's a given. And that's assuming they have a place to go. You know, I was just reading about a lot of these national chains. Sears, Best Buy, a lot of these national chains over the next couple of years will be closing retail locations. And this is just one more reason to do that. More jobs lost. And it's real. I mean, you can say it's not real, but it's real. We'll look at the economic numbers amongst minimum wage jobs after 2016 when this is in full effect, and we will see jobs have left Maryland, especially if the surrounding states don't raise their wage. So for their reasons, I can't support this bill. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
The gentlelady from Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I sat very quietly the other day as a proud member of the Economic Matters Committee, and I listened to the debate. We had fair, lengthy debate in our committee, and I give all deference to our chairman of the committee in the allowing for us to have a voice. Yes, this bill is in a very different posture than when we first brought it in, and for that, the members of the committee should be very proud in the work that we were able to accomplish. There is one piece of this legislation, however, that remains an obstacle to where we stand. And you're going to hear a lot today, possibly, Mr. Chairman, 2 hours, maybe longer, maybe less than that. We just really don't know. But there's going to be some conversation that, you know, the sky is falling and we are just claiming that the sky is falling, that this has been done before, that the minimum wage has increased in the past and we didn't lose the jobs and we didn't see the negative impact. You're going to hear that. But here's the problem with before and today. Today we're taking an extreme approach. We are going to vote today on a $10.10 minimum wage rate. And you're going to hear that, oh, well, back, you know, when you said the sky was falling before and we were going to lose jobs and we were going to lose businesses, that didn't happen. Well, let me just be clear. Today we're voting on an almost 40% increase in labor costs. We have never done that in the past. Maryland has never done that. The increases that Maryland has had in their minimum wage rate over a period of time have been incremental. $4.75 was the minimum wage in 1997. In 1998, it was $5.15. In 2007, after 9 years, they increased it to $6.15, $1. In 2008, 1 year after that, $6.55, 40-cent increase. 2009 to $7.25. We can all do the math. Now, 5 years later, we're looking at $10.10 an hour. That is a 40% increase. Maryland doesn't need to be extreme. Maryland may have a legitimate purpose for raising the minimum wage. In the past, our policy decisions have been based on the complete economic impact of the entire state. And I believe in the past that we have looked at those rates and looked at the best way to go about to increase the minimum wage. I don't believe the facts today show us that a $10.10 increase will not have an impact on what we do, who is employed, and what businesses decide to stay or not stay. There's other facts out there. Since 2008, according to our Department of Economic Development, Maryland is 10,000 businesses less today than they were in 2008. Not 10,000 jobs, 10,000 businesses. Today, we're going to ask each and every one of the remaining businesses whether or not they can afford their labor costs. The only study, the only economic, nonpartisan, economic impact study for the state of Maryland specifically was presented to our committee by a professor from George Mason University. He doesn't have a stake in the game. He tells us that by creating this bill, this policy, we will lose, according to the same methodology that our Department of Legislative Services uses in their fiscal analysis, we will lose upwards of 12,000 jobs. Now, that may not mean a lot to you, but I think that means a lot to the 12,000 people that are going to lose their job because ultimately their wage will not be $10.10, will not be $7.25, it will be zero. And we can ask ourselves, is the 12,000 too many? Is 1,000 too many? Is 100 too many? Or is one too many? Because as economic policy makers that are representing our district, we have to understand who those people are in our district that we may or may not be making decisions on whether or not they will or will not have a job based on what we do in this room. In Virginia, because we talk about Virginia a lot when it comes to competitiveness. Virginia in 2007 had a $1 less than what we were. They were almost equal in 2008, almost equal in 2009. We are equal today, and tomorrow we could be $3 more. That is a lack of competitiveness when we talk about our surrounding states. And I know that other members of this body, we'll talk about some of the other economic impacts. My conversation with you today is this. We have choices. This bill is far better than where it was before. Congratulations on this body keeping the CPI out of the bill. Congratulations to our committee for taking care of the tipped wage earners and making sure that our restaurants weren't going to spend astronomically more money. Thank you to the committee for increasing or repealing the repeal of the agricultural overtime hours, which would have been devastating for theirs. We have done many good things. I ask this body to say there's still work that needs to be done. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. $10.10 takes the extremist role that we, quite frankly, can't afford to take. Let's do it in a logical, self-controlled way, like we have done as a state in the past. I urge a red vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from the Eastern Shore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a saying down here, we say you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And there are some facts here that can't be disputed. And those facts are straight economics. If you're going to increase the production cost or the labor cost, that's got to be made up somewhere. And so the employers either have to lay someone off. You got 10 employees. You got $1,000 you can spend on those employees. Each employee is getting $100 a week. If you say now you got to pay them each $110 a week, that employer has to either increase the money that's coming in by raising the cost of the products or has to lay somebody off. The people who this is meant to help are those who are stepping onto the economic ladder. I had the opportunity when I was coming in here today, saw the protest out front. Everybody out here see the protest out there with all the people with the signs? I stopped, and I engaged them, and I wanted to talk. I said, who here is getting minimum wage? And I asked again, and I went to every single one. One person stood up and said they were getting minimum wage. I said, where do you work? Her reply was, I'm self-employed. That's not the problem of the economic system. That's the problem of the person running that business. There was nobody out there holding a sign who told me they were getting minimum wage. I asked, do you know anybody getting minimum wage? When we went to the teachers not too long ago, they got up and were telling us what they wanted us to come down here and talk about before we came into session. And they said, we want you to support that minimum wage. We got parents of children where both parents are getting minimum wage and are trying to raise four children. And I stopped and said, please, call me and tell me the name of the two parents getting minimum wage trying to raise four children. Because that's not that I know of, and still, to this day, I've not been told who they are. This is about the kids who are getting in, getting their first step on the economic ladder. Both my kids started at jobs that were minimum wage to get in there and get started on the economic ladder, and they're moving up. And that's what it's about. It's not about raising a family. This was never been about raising a family. Government doesn't create jobs. So far, what I see is government destroys jobs. Government destroys businesses. Economics works. Let capitalism work. If you looked at the map that was presented by the good chairman the other day, it showed every state around us is going to have a lower minimum wage. Think about it. You want to bring a business to Maryland. You look and say, what are my costs going to be? Are you going to go where your costs are higher to hire employees? Or are you going to go where they're lower? If you have a business and you want to expand, are you going to stay where your costs are higher? Or are you going to go where they're lower? We already know that we overburden all the businesses in Maryland with the regulations. We know that we're taxing them out of the state, and now we're going to control their businesses. In the law, when we're talking to a judge, say, and the judge is making rulings, we say, well, I don't mind you, you know, running my case, just don't lose it for me. Well, that's kind of like what we're saying to business here, is saying to government, we don't mind you trying to run our business, just don't run us out of business. And that's what we're trying to do with bills like this, is run the people who are trying to run businesses in Maryland, out of business. It's a bad, bad, bad bill. Show me where capitalism did not work. Show me where it's not being successful. I'll show you a government that is overly intrusive and standing there over its people and dictating how they should run their business. We should not do that. Give freedom a chance. Give economics a chance. And let's work with what we know works, and that is an economic system that lets the businessman make those decisions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from Anne Arundel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My colleagues, the Congressional Budget Office said if we had done this nationwide, that it would be a loss of 500,000 jobs. Could be as much, they said, as 1 million. We're not doing it around the nation, but we're going to do it here in Maryland. Most people think the minimum wage increase deals with big corporations. I mentioned a business on Main Street the other day called My Favorite Muffin. I'm going to let you know just a few lines out of his letter what he says. 2 years ago, I retired after 23 years in the Navy, and my wife and I used our life savings and mortgaged our house to open My Favorite Muffin on Main Street in downtown Annapolis. Times are tough, especially for small business. Raising the minimum wage to $10 will close our bakery cafe. 10 people will lose their jobs. 3 of them make the minimum wage. They're high school and college students who are just coming in to learn, and it takes a while to teach them, and then they move on. It will bankrupt my family. Among those who will lose their job is Alice. Alice lives in public housing and is trying to become self-sufficient. She did not have a resume or any experience when we hired her. However, Alice makes more than minimum wage because she works so very hard and is very dependable. It's under the 10-10. We have helped her many ways, writing letters of reference when she was threatened with eviction because of her husband, giving her short-term loans for which she was embarrassed to ask for but had nowhere else to go, or the time her glasses were broken and taped together and my wife took her to the sunglass shop next door to repair them, and they ended up giving her a brand new pair. Alice is working hard to improve her work skills. She is still intimidated by the computerized cash register, but knows she needs to be proficient before she can move up. If minimum wage is raised, Alice will lose her job. Without the skills, who else will hire her? I have to tell you this story because it's very similar to stories in my business and many small businesses throughout this state. Small businesses cannot compete or absorb higher wages like chain stores that can negotiate better rents and product costs and have volume and margins to absorb and to absorb the increased labor cost. As hard as this is for those businesses, as the delegate Howard from Howard County had spoken of, it's much harder for small businesses. If you really, really care, if you really wanted to do a responsible bill from Economic Matters, I would have said do a smaller increase. This is too egregious. This kills jobs, and it's going to kill small business. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The gentlelady from Prince George's.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.